You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Father, just thank you, Lord, that today is the day of salvation, that today is the day of deliverance, that today is the day of healing. That today is the day, Father, that today is the day that you have made, Lord God, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, Lord, because today is the day of salvation, because today is the day of deliverance, because today is the day of healing, because today is the day of redemption, today is the day of reconciliation, today is the day to be loosed in the Spirit of God. We thank you, Holy One, that today is the day. Today is the day, Lord God. This is the hour. This is the hour. This is the moment, Lord God. You are being released, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Holy One. Today is the day that we encounter the King of Kings, Lord. The King of Kings, Lord God. Today is the day that we say yes to him being King of Kings of our lives. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This is the hour. This is the moment. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment. Yes, Lord. 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 Today is the day that he's established as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my mind, in my heart, in my body, in my life. Today is the day. Today is the day, beloved. Today is the day of your deliverance, of our deliverance. Today is the day of our healing. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day, the revelation of the fear of the Lord. Today is the day of the revelation of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Today is the day. Today is the day that our eyes are open, that our ears are open. Today is the day. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Today is the day. Today is the day that we say yes, Lord. Today is the day that we respond, oh God. Today is the day, Father, that we say yes, Lord. Today is the day, Lord Jesus. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Yes, Lord. This is the hour. This is the hour, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy One, that you've been with us and you are here, and today is the day that we see that clearly, Lord God. Today is the day that we see it, Lord. Today is the day that we receive it, Lord God. We receive it, Lord. You're pushing through every chain and every stronghold and every wicked thing, Lord God, and you are saying, I am here to be established. I am here to be established. I am here to be established. Today, today, today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Today is the day. Today is the hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today is the day that sin is finished. Today is the day that sin is finished. Today is the day that we say no to sin. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day. Today is the day. Uraba. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Arabashika. Uranaye Arabaseka. Urayanana Masi Arabakaye. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Orabashia. Orayanana Masi Arabake. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Father, I thank you that today is the day of intercession, Lord. That today is the day of intercession, Lord God. That today is the day, Father. Today is the day, Lord God, of intercession, Lord. Of becoming a house of intercession for you. Of becoming a house of worship for you, Lord God. Father, that today is the day, if we choose to say yes, Lord, that you are anointing and baptizing, Father. And your fire, Lord God, that we can carry your fire, Lord, in intercession, Lord God, and worship in intimate intercession, an intimate worship with you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's in that place where the fear of the Lord and his holiness is revealed to us. Oh, you've been missing something. You've been lacking something. You've been in wherever. Oh, the Spirit of God is saying intimate intercession and intimate worship with me. Today is the day. Today is the day to walk out and in. Walk out of the stuff and into his presence. Walk into his presence. Run into his presence. Oh, yes, Lord. Oneness. Oneness with you, Lord. Oneness with you, Lord God. Oneness with you, Lord. Oneness with you, Jesus. Oneness, oneness. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Mashiach. Oh, Lord. Father, I thank you that today is the day of alignment, Lord God, righteous alignment, Lord Jesus, that today is the day, Father, where you turn us right side up, Lord God. Today is the day of alignment with your spirit, Lord God. Today is the day of alignment, of holy alignment with you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that everything that's been out of whack, Lord God, by your spirit, Lord, becomes into alignment, oh God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our physical needs, our emotional needs, our mental needs, every need is coming into alignment to be satisfied by the Holy One, by the Holy One, by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, everything that is out of whack is coming into alignment. It comes into alignment by the Spirit of God, by the blood that was shed. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Yarabasekai, if that's you, cry out. I come into alignment. You call it out. You declare it. You declare it. I've been out of whack, but I come into alignment. I come into alignment. I come under submission. I come unto submission. I come unto submission under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is Jesus. Yes, Lord. I am washed by his blood. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We receive your resurrection power, O God. We become alive again in you, O God. We revive in you, Lord. We die and we revive, Lord Jesus. Spirit of resurrection, of power and life. Yes, Lord, we submit to you, O God. We submit to you, Lord. We submit to you, Jesus. You are the head. You are the head. You are the head. I am not the head. I am not the head. You are, Lord. You are the head. You are the head, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. By your spirit, Lord, today is the day that I believe, Lord God. Today is the day that I believe, Lord Jesus, that I believe, Lord. Today is the day, Lord God. We shake off unbelief, Lord Jesus, and by your spirit, oh God, we believe, Lord. We believe that today is the day, Lord. We believe, Lord God, that today is the day. We believe, Lord, we repent of being unbelieving, Lord Jesus. We repent of unbelief, Lord God, that you are the God of the impossible, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that today is the day that I believe. Today is the day that I believe, Lord. Today is the day that you become living in every part of my life, oh God. Today is the day. Today is the day, Lord Jesus. Today is the day. Father, I thank you that today, by your Spirit, Lord, is the day that I receive your love, your unconditional, transforming love, Lord God. That today is the day that I receive your love, Lord, the substance that you are, the presence that you are, Lord, the love that you are, Father, the love that you are. Thank you, Lord, that today is the day that I receive your love, Father. Father, and I thank you that today is the day that we make ourselves ready, Lord. That we make ourselves ready, Lord God. That today is the day that we make ourselves ready, Lord. We make ourselves ready. Ready to usher you in, Lord God. Ready to receive you. Ready to go. Ready to stay ready. We stay ready, Lord God. We be prepared to be ready for you, Lord. Ready for you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we make ourselves ready today, Lord, in your presence. Oh. That we make ourselves ready, Lord, in you, because of you, for you. Make yourselves ready. Yes, Lord, we make ourselves ready, Lord. Make ourselves ready for you, Jesus. For you, Lord. Ready. Ready, ready, ready. Oh, Jesus. Ready. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Become ready, Lord. We become ready, Jesus. We become ready. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Revelation 19, let us rejoice and be glad that you give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, Father, we've received your word today. We're going to continue to receive your word. You're here amongst us. And you've invited us to step in and receive you, to receive the great exchange that took place at the cross and was confirmed in the resurrection. So the newness of life that you've given us, Lord, we are receiving, we are believing as we repent before you. This is a day of cleansing. This is a day of hope. This is a day of realignment. And this is a day of mercy and grace as you open our eyes. As we look into those eyes of fire. As we weep before you. Lord, thank you that you give us the ability through this love to declare that you are Lord of our thoughts. That you give us the ability to declare you are the Lord of our feelings and our emotions. You give us the ability to declare that you are the Lord of our choices, of our will. As we surrender to you in this intimate place, there is no division. There is no confusion. There is no offense. There is nothing but love, peace, grace, and mercy. As we submit to you, we can step into your mandates for us, for order, submission, and holiness, real holiness, true holiness. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I believe the Lord is saying to us that his love is the greatest power there is. And this love that we have sung out, that we have sung and ministered to our Lord and to our King as we cry out, is in turn released in us, through us, over us, for us, to us, and then out to others. So as a result of that, there will be great reconciliation, great restoration within interpersonal relationships here. And may I suggest that this moment, this day, this hour is not wasted, not forgotten, not permitted to be cast aside in any way. That would not be the exercising of wisdom, because our King is here. Our King is here. So we say yes to you, King Jesus. We say yes to you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prophetic word, for the confirmation of what you've been doing in the Spirit. Thank you for that confirmation, Lord, just also in the Spirit. So we receive that by faith today, and we choose to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and you will lift us up into time. Thank you, Lord. We say yes. We say amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pressing through is holding on to Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the throng around her. The throng of religious ones saying, no, don't go there. The voice in her head saying, no, don't go there. And all others. Press through. Press through. Any other voice. Press through. Focus on his eyes. Make yourself known, Jesus. Make yourself known, Jesus. Press through. Press through. Press through. The grace is here to press through. Grace, Jesus. Your empowerment is here. Just say yes as a little child. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. He will sweep you up in his arms of love. He comes to pummel depression, confusion, judgment, fear, animosity, offense that feels so right but is not. Let our King pummel that by his love, grace, and power right now. So forgiveness can freely flow. Forgiveness, receive him completely. And then you can extend him to others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a day of new beginnings. This is a day of great breakthrough. This is a moment of eternal change that he's offering to us individually and as a body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness that drives us to our face. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those who crucified Jesus judged him first. Release all judgment, Lord. Release all judgment, God. Release all judgment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your true peace. Not manufactured, but true, abiding peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We bless your name. You are bigger than any darkness, any distress, any ruler, principality, ruler of darkness in high places. We thank you, Lord, that we have nothing to fear, but fear of you, spirit of the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for your great move in our hearts right now. Thank you, Lord. Let's take steps toward him. Go. Your word tells us that we can enter into your holy throne room, your holy place, We can enter freely with boldness and confidence and courage, knowing that you'll hear us in our time of need. You've come today to remind us of our time of need. We're here for you. Because of you. Thank you. Thank you for recalibrating our thoughts as we surrender them to you and our emotions and our will. Thank you for restart, pressing the restart button right now. Thank you. Let faith arise, let hope arise, and enemies be scattered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that scattering so we can continue to gather in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus.
So, Father, we just thank you that, Father, as we take communion this morning, Lord, that, God, it is a representation in the natural, God, of our oneness in the Spirit with you, Father, of just receiving the sacrifice of your blood for the making alive of our spirits, for the saving of our souls, God, and for the healing of our bodies. Father, we thank you that as we take the bread, Lord, that it is your flesh, the word of God, the heavenly substance of you made flesh and then broken for us, God. Then going down to hell and receiving the punishment that we deserved. And the Spirit of God raising you to life and sitting you at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf until you come back as the coming King, and then we're made one with you as the bride. So, Father, we just receive this communion this morning in a new way, with new revelation, with new light. And, Father, that this act of communion with you just seals, Father, what has occurred in the Spirit today. Thank you, Father, that we really do have communion with you. We really do have a common union in the Spirit in this place, and a common union with your Spirit in the heavenly place. And Father, that common union of the Spirit, Father, we just desire to expand across the earth. That your glory, O God, would cover the earth as the water covers the seas. So I just invite you to come forward as you feel so led, and just partake with the Lord just as a sealing in the Spirit of what he's done in our hearts today.
Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Frontline. Thank you so much for jumping in and coming together as we did as a family to worship the Lord in amazing ways. There was others of you that were out there worshiping and praying. I know Andrea also led a worship time last night that we didn't see up there. But there were so many of you that came and you went and you jumped in, and thank you so much, because it was such a sweet expression I believe, to the Lord and to his heart and to what he's called us to. So we did 50 hours in this house on Mount Union campus. Thank you, Lord. It was just a very rich time with the Lord. I'm going to have Troy share. He had a specific word and picture while we were there. And Lawrence is going to share a little bit. And I just wanted to show really quick that that for me personally, it was just, it took me to another place with the Lord to be on the ground and intercede. I prayed before for Mount Union. We, you know, do that in this house a lot. But to be on the grounds for that amount of time and to get the heart of the Lord spiritually and to sense what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere and the climate there and to see the students walk by and a couple of them poke their head in and some come in. And it was just something just to be there and to hear the heart of the Lord for the students and the faculty and the staff. It was just very different to intercede and stand in the gap for them there on the ground. It was just very powerful. So blessed to have been a part of it. And thank you again. Thank you, Russell family, for hosting us the way that you did. On their own, they fed us throughout the weekend and didn't even think about that when putting it together. But yesterday morning, or was that yet? Whatever day it was, one morning that we were there, I think Angela and Rebecca were there with me, and somebody else was there. I'm sorry, I don't remember you. But Rhonda walks in, she's like, "Good morning, I have breakfast." So it was like, whoa, pray, thank you, Lord. You know, because at that hour it could go either way. I was telling Pastor Mary Pat, we're like, we love you, Jesus, we're trying to say. And then breakfast came in and fueled us up for more. So anyhow, I will stop talking and have Troy share what he saw or felt the Lord speak.
So I was able to be there for a little bit yesterday. But as we were worshiping, I just had my eyes closed and was worshiping. And suddenly I saw like a bookshelf. And on the bookshelf, I saw these rows of books and a hand that reached out and took a book off the shelf and opened it up and began to write in the book. And I asked the Lord what that was. And he told me those were history books and that this was a significant event, that the Awaken the Dawn, the 50 hours, was a significant event, and that the Lord was writing it in the history books of heaven. And so it's very humbling to get to be a part of that and to see that. But that's what I saw, that it was very significant. He was writing that and taking note of that. So just bless everyone who participated in that and just excited for seeing the fruit that God's going to bring about it, because I felt like, obviously, it's not just for Mount Union, but it's a significant event in the history of our nation, in the history. So just agreeing with, you know, what others have prophesied about these different meetings in prayer. But
so there's something that's just very near and dear to my heart about having opportunities to spend all night completely devoted to prayer and worship. And so something that starts Thursday night at 9 p.m. and goes until Saturday, technically 11. I mean, we walked off the campus. It was 12:03, so we spanned multiple days. It was weird being back on campus. It's been a while since I've been there. I'm actually an alumni, and I didn't even know they had alumni weekends. A couple of people were like, "Everybody has an alumni." Well, now I know. But there was something that the Lord was speaking to me a lot about, the impact that what we were participating in, the impact that it had beyond just Mount Union. I mean, obviously, a lot of us have a heart that's very dear to everything that he's doing in and through Mount Union. But it seemed like it went way beyond that, especially the fact that it just coincided with alumni weekend. So there were people, there were generations. I mean, there were grandparents showing their grandchildren the campus who were poking their head in and looking. And then one other thing that I noticed that was really amazing was the participation that we had from the community of Alliance. There were several people, if you were paying attention to some of those pictures and videos, there were several people that had nothing to do necessarily with Mount Union, but heard about it and came and participated. Some of them stayed like real late. I think one guy, Paul, stayed through the night one night. And then we met, what was her name that we spoke to a little bit? Kathy? No. A lady. Janet? Janet, thank you. And we met Janet, who's had such a heart for the students at Mount Union. She prayer walks the campus regularly. So for her, she found out about it on Facebook, I think, and she was so excited, came running over. And then it ended the last hour. I mean, there was a lot of worship and intercession throughout the whole weekend, but the last hour, it just seemed to increase even more, where we just kind of closed crying out for the Lord to show his presence and to manifest in a mighty way. So it was awesome to be a part of it all weekend, but also to see how it ended. It didn't just kind of like, we didn't just stumble over the finish line there. You know, the fact that we were able to, it felt like we kind of sprinted to the end there, just crying out for the Lord and seeing everything that he wanted to do. So I'm really excited to hear more testimonies arising out of what's happened this past weekend from students that are participating in the Edge, as well as looking for more fruit from that, because I know that's manifesting as we speak. So, amen. I think somebody else wanted to.
It's good. Not yet. You're a representative of Mount Union. Hang on. As an alumnus, I am not, but I'm a mother of one, so a spiritual mother of many. That last hour was extremely significant over the whole weekend. And I personally, with Pastor Bill, want to thank Lawrence and Cynthia for saying yes to this and saying, let's do this. Let's run with this. Can we just give them a big thank you for this? Yeah, thank you. And I think Ashley Zayer gets the, you know, I don't even know what it is. I said, how many hours of sleep did you have this whole weekend? And we're not saying, woo, be like her. But I don't know where this girl got this. But she just kept going. And Rhonda opened her house. And Rhonda and Mike opened their house for anyone that wanted to crash. I didn't realize you're only like 3 minutes away from Mount Union. It's like, really? I didn't know that. Thought you were farther out. And she didn't go there. But others, at least one other did. And thank you for that, you guys. But there was something moving inside of her, someone moving inside of her that was propelling her to just keep going. There wasn't any requirement. There was no mandate. There was just an intense hunger and an ability to be sustained by the Lord. So you could talk to her about that. It was crazy, but it was good. And it just, you know, was an example of someone responding to what the Lord was speaking to them. And that's all he's asking from us. Respond to what I'm speaking to you. Hear me, and then respond. So praise the Lord for that. But I just wanted to mention that we, on Tuesday night, had a really good time of preparation in the Spirit, and Cynthia was leading out some things and a few others dealing with what was going on this weekend, this week, all over the world, and that was a beautiful Jewish festival that the Feast of Tabernacles that we got to be part of again for the third year in a row corporately through Awaken the Dawn. And so, of course, 2 years ago we were in D.C. with between 40 and 50 people. I don't even know how many, counting little kids. And then last year we were down in Columbus, and this year we're out on Mount Union's campus. So had a lot of things going on, and not going to go through and explain all of that history. That was all done on Tuesday night. You can listen to the recording if you would like to find out about that. But one thing that we did speak out yesterday was that in 2002, that's many years ago, that's when we started The Edge, and we had many from Frontline, and including our own kids, who are now kids. One was not married at the time, but is now, who were there and part of that. And we went back to remember what was in the history books that Troy was talking about. And many, as I'm driving in the campus, looking at the dorms, going, oh my gosh, that's where I met so-and-so, and that's where we did this, and that's where we saw that. And it was really amazing to recollect what the Lord already has done and be part of calling back everything that the Lord has deposited and what he wants to do in the future. That was really amazing, and I still don't know. I need our historian, Rachel, to let us know how many actually have gone through the Mount Union gates and graduated there, many from this house. And we've had other things that have gone on, not just the Edge, but we had a supernatural class, Signs and Wonders, at that time. So many things the Lord had been doing since 2002. We had rented the theater there at Mount Union and shown the Passion film, and many got saved on campus. And this included students as well as teachers, professors, et cetera, and local folks. So the Lord has done many things. So we were calling all of that back so that the Lord would continue to have his way, and that there would be this gathering of hearts and calls, anointings, futures, and everything the Lord was trying to do back then and doing, and then reestablishing through a realignment that what was happening over the weekend that also touched, I think, was it 417? I think. I could be wrong, but it's 400 and something, 13, 17 universities around the United States that hosted similar things. Maybe done a little differently, maybe didn't have the history that we had on a particular campus. We can find that out later. But the fact that we have ongoing history there, as well as other universities, other campuses, and high school and junior high, etc., that speaks wildly to what God's wanting to do in this hour. So there were many, many prophetic words, visions. Jesus showed up yesterday. Angels were there, and throughout the weekend, angels were there. Really crazy things that people were sharing, that they were seeing, hearing, feeling, that were very supernatural. You know, to be in the presence of the Lord that way, and to welcome his ministering spirits, and to watch what they're doing, hear what they're doing, see it in the spirit, and then believe that things were happening as a result. All that carried over into today. And I'm just watching this going on. I'm totally amazed and humbled again. So thank you so much. Maybe on Tuesday, or if anybody had something quickly they wanted to share, they can. And then Michelle has something to offer. Just didn't want to forget that part of it, because we are very strong in believing that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We believe that. And that's part of the bride making herself ready. So thank you guys for your participation this weekend. It was something new and fresh, something new. And when I was on the floor today during worship, and I didn't know we were having communion either. Thanks, Josh. I just didn't know any of this. This is all great. But I felt the Lord tell me, just get up and hand the microphone to Cynthia. And so when she came up, there's no plan. It's the plan of the Lord. And so there was a prophetic release that happened here on top of worship and everything, culminating in communion. So I'm very grateful to the Lord and to you guys that we get to do family with, and to see what this is going to do in the nation and nations. So the Feast of Tabernacles, Sin, I don't know if we have any of those handouts left over. We do, probably some. If anybody could find those, you can take that, because Sin put together many things that we spoke about on Tuesday night about the Feast of Tabernacles. And she put it in a handout, and then you guys can have that and join in many ways. And I'm not going to say much about this. I'm just going to pass it out, or have somebody pass it out. And we're going to have a table or a group, or we're going to do something a little more organized than this. But if you didn't listen to the message last week, you weren't here, dealing from a perspective of what we can do as citizens in the United States, first citizens of heaven and citizens in the United States and Ohio, I really encourage you to listen to that online. And also, because it's very clear, I hope, and I do have a bookmark for everybody here that has some scriptures on it that will be helpful in, thank you guys, in, this is the top group, yeah. And that will help remind everybody. I think there's enough for kids. I'm not sure, though. So start with the adults, okay? And remind everybody to pray for our leaders, our elected officials. And then I am getting more of these. Pastor Bill and I went to an all-day summit in Columbus on Friday to be part of Citizens for Christian Network, Christian Citizens. Let me say it again, Citizens for Community Values. I didn't say it right. And we're also part of another initiative within that involves our participation. And there are there are other ones we'll talk about later, or have a group that puts something together in this ministry that will help in that area. But I do have enough of these, I think, for every family, and it's called How a Bill Becomes a Law. So this will take you back to middle school, probably, or high school, or maybe be a first-time thing. But this will be part of being able to pray through things that are coming. So there's more information coming. So if we can just pass this out, that would be great. Thank you. And then I'm going to pass this over to Michelle. Lots of announcements today. So if you weren't here at the beginning, you came in at any time where you didn't know what was going on, if you just came in a little bit later than what was shared, please, I encourage you to listen to today's recording and then get the full word, the transition from worship and into the prophetic word and everything that happened after that. Listen to it online today. It'll be part of where we're going.
As most of you know, Frontline is involved in God's plan against human trafficking, and that's our Redemption for Life organization. And so the Lord provided an opportunity for us to be part of a secular community event that was this Saturday, and myself, Carly, and Ashley Zare were able to represent Frontline at a table. It was called the A21 Walk for Freedom, and it was held at Walsh University this year, and we've been there the past 3 or 4 years, and this year was bigger than any other year I've seen. So it was just really cool. We got an opportunity to talk to people more about, you know, how to get connected and how to support what the Lord has Frontline doing in the realm of human trafficking, but also each organization got 1 minute to share the heart behind their organization, and so we were able to share unabashedly who we are and that it was Jesus who came to set every captive free and to heal the brokenhearted and declare that in power. And I think we were one of two organizations that mentioned Jesus, but he went forth, and we were able to connect with some someone from Methodist Church. Actually, I was able to talk with for a long time. Was just blown away by the testimonies of what God's doing, and will hopefully help to support us. And we do have an upcoming outreach. We do outreaches here in places where people are very hurting and broken, and clubs. And so we are asking, we're always asking, but there's a need for donations. We give out gift bags to some very vulnerable ladies. And so any nice toiletries, cosmetics, nail polish, mints, things that you're able to donate before, even Tuesday night. Yeah, it's before Friday. But if you could do it, bring it on this Tuesday. If you know anyone who sells Avon or Mary Kay, or just think creatively, they often have samples and nice little products, and we really need that, because that's coming out of our own pockets. And so if you want to support that way, it really blesses some very vulnerable women in our community. So thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. Bella, do you want to pass these out for your mom? No, you sure? This is what is the Feast of Tabernacles, so I think there's a paper for everybody. And we just want to grab one of these before you go out. Pastor Bill has a message for us the Lord has put on his heart. So children are released, but please don't leave before you get one of these from Bella. So God bless you, children. You can go to your classes.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand. It's going to be a lightning message. But you need a Bible. Lightning message. Father, we thank you for all you've done already. God, 50 hours of worship translating into our hearts being tender before you. Coming into your presence with real joy, openness, willingness to change, repentance. Father, we thank you for your work in each of our hearts. We bless your name today for your Holy Spirit teaching us already, speaking. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us. The depths of who we are. And Lord, we're responding. We're responding. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We bless your name. We lift you up for praise and honor. Thank you, God. You're already meeting with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Have a Bible? Yes. Awesome. That'll help. You have a handout, and if you don't have one, please raise your hand. We'll get one to you. The one another passages. I know that you've read these, but here they are packaged in one document for you. There may be others. There's 100 in the New Testament, 59 of which have to do with our relationship with one another. Makes sense, huh? The one another's. And so these are powerful for us to look through, study through, and we won't be going through these one at a time, or otherwise we could have dinner together. But this is a very good thing for you to consider for yourself. These are commands in most cases, so they're not just suggestions. Submit to one another, that's a command. Bear one another's burdens, that's a command. And so he knows what's best for us. And so commands from Jesus are like saying, this is what's best for you. And so we receive them with joy, right? Every command of Jesus we receive with joy, right? That was one amen. Okay. We'll go from there and build on that. So the quote today, wow, look at that, just that quick. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another requires dependence on another's love and power. Another capitalized. So we're going to need the power of Jesus as we found out, humbling ourselves before him over this weekend, humbling ourselves before him today, receiving communion, being in his presence today. We know we cannot do these things. We can't. In our own power, we cannot do these things. But the good news is that he has all the love and power that we need to infuse into us through Holy Spirit to do these things. How many times have you heard that over the last 2, 3, 4 years? From this place, from various people coming up here and saying, we need the power of Holy Spirit to change, not to strive our way into maturity, but to receive his power in order to love one another, in order to live in harmony with one another, build up one another instead of tearing each other down, being kind and compassionate, go down through the list. These things are not able to be lived out without the power of the Holy Spirit, but I'm smiling because I know you know he lives right inside of us. That is amazing news. And we need every bit of connection with him in order to live these things out. When I first became a believer, I was in a group that pretty much said, you know, we need to obey God, memorize his word, and evangelize. I loved it, every bit of it. But in that, I thought, oh, well, if I obey God, then, you know, I'll do all of his commands. I'll just do those. I didn't think about the power of the Holy Spirit being needed to do those. I was going to do those intentionally. I was going to step forward in my own power and say, here I am, God, you're my Lord. And so I will do these things because you're my Lord and my King. And I've found out I don't have the power to do those. Did you find that out somewhere along the journey? I don't have the power to do these things, to obey. I need every bit of his power to obey. Every bit of it. Every bit of the blood to cover me while I'm attempting to obey. So what good is it if one of us is 20% good at it, obeying without the power of God, and someone else is 21% good at it? Do they get to be the pastors because they're 21%? I mean, we are lacking unless we depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. I said we're lacking unless we depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. So as long as I'm alive, as long as I am a leader that you have to listen to, I will be saying this. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to obey. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to even activate the 700 names of God. But the good news is, He is ready, willing, and able to speak life into us, speak obedience into us, make us into warriors when we're wimps. Isn't that good news? Some of you don't look like it's that good of news. You need to maybe smile once in a while when I'm saying something is good news. There we go. That's better. Okay, well, let's see. Which side is better here? I think this side is. Sorry. You tried. You really tried over here, but these guys are big smilers over here. You have to take lessons. Colossians 3, 8 through 17. That's in the Bible. That's why I said have a Bible ready. Colossians 3, 8 through 17. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. There's a one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. If you write down Colossians 3, 8 through 17, you can go through the rest of that and you'll see there's some more one another's, like bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Do you know no one would leave this body of believers if people actually bared with one another and loved one another? They probably wouldn't leave. It'd be such a great place, like what we experienced this morning already. Jesus would come in, Holy Spirit. He would be allowed to just move through us to the maximum because we wouldn't have any grieving of the Holy Spirit. Because we'd be loving one another. We wouldn't be waiting to see, what can I criticize? There's got to be something I can criticize today. Got to be something. Something that's said from the front. Something that's done in the service. There's got to be something I can criticize. Rather than having that as part of our experience, we would be bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Do you know what? That's the actual Christian life that works. Bearing with you and you bearing with me. Come on. Forgiving. What's that mean? We're going to screw up with each other. Don't you see? That's what that means. You are going to screw up in your relationship with one another. So you have to forgive. Is that such a hard thing when Jesus showed us the way and then put himself inside of us through Holy Spirit to be able to do that? And bear with one another. What's that mean? There's some stuff in you and some stuff in me that's not perfect. We're going to have to bear with each other and get over stuff. That's important. That's called love overall, isn't it? I mean, in a marriage relationship, love is not just the gushy-gushy, woo-hoo, yahoo, is it? Those that have been married more than 4 days. Okay, so, hey, it is bearing with one another, forgiving one another. It's supposed to be a tower of testimony to the world, right? Our marriages. And then the church is supposed to be like that because we're married to Jesus. It's supposed to be the same thing. It's all a marriage. And, you know, sometimes we're woo with Jesus, and sometimes we're like, oh man, I've got to press through. When we first came to Jesus, our first day of knowing him, it was whoa or something. But it was intense. Either whoa or whoa, maybe both. Mine was both. I was so excited to be finally free of myself. I didn't even think of the devil. I'm thinking, free of myself. I was the one holding me back from Jesus. And to just say yes to him and mean it and know it was going to be a lifetime. That was my desire, my joy. And he was going to help me. And he gave me his word and just read it and read it and read the love letter. Come on. But eventually, you have to press through, don't you? I gave a message years ago. Press in and press on. How many were here for that message? Yeah, okay, four of you, great. I can give that one again. Woo! Press in to Jesus and then press on in life, and he gives you everything you need for life and godliness. I know more about that message now than I did when I gave that message. And it's the same way with you. You know more now what it takes to live out the Christian life than you did the first day of your salvation. But the joy is deeper now. That was the day of your salvation. It may have been woohoo! But now it's woohoo. It's deep. Because you had to go through some stuff. You had to forgive some people. You had to bear with some people. And you knew they had to bear with you. They have to bear with us. Who's got the bigger job? Them! But we tend to think maybe we're bearing so much with people. But if we actually look at ourselves, oh, man, they've got a lot to bear with. Jesus sees it. And if we're honest with him, so what are in the world are we going around criticizing others for? They've got to bear with us. They have to bear with all our idiosyncrasies and our lack of love and our lack of sensitivity. Isn't that true? I mean, unless some of you are just filled up with love all the time, love buckets, filled to the brim and overflowing. I think people have a lot to bear when they have to deal with me. Sometimes I'm just sharp with what I say. Boom! You know, this is the way it is. It's what's in the Bible. And afterwards I go, ooh, could have couched that a little bit better. Could have done a little better job with that. Are you supposed to bear with that? Yeah. Can you help me change that? Absolutely. But has it hurt anybody to the point where they couldn't ever forgive? No way. No way. No way. And the same for you. You're not always at your best. You come up and talk to somebody and you're not at your best and you walk away going, ooh, I could have said that better. I could have done that better. It's the ones that aren't aware. They just let it fly. They're not listening to Holy Spirit. They don't care what kind of a text message or what kind of a, you know, email they send you. They can hide behind that better. Phone calls, face to face. And they don't even seem to realize how much a person would have to bear with that and love them and forgive them. They don't even think of that. It's all on somebody else. That's not the one another's. One another. I'm supposed to be thinking of you. You're supposed to be thinking of me. What do you have to bear with me? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me despite my imperfections. Because what the enemy tries to tell us is they don't think they have them. They don't think they have imperfections. They think they're perfect. That's what the enemy tries to tell us. But if anybody's been walking with Jesus for as long as we have and we've been going to the nations, he's been speaking to each one of us, right? And telling us that we're not perfect. And we're saying, you're right. And we're repenting like this morning. This is a good thing. So in Colossians, it has several one another's. Do not lie to one another. This is Colossians 3, 8 through 17. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, teaching and admonishing one another. Whoa. There's where some of the difficulty comes in, right? Admonishing? I want someone to admonish me with cherries and some whipped cream and extra gifts and maybe, you know, like one of the gifts I got this week, got a pen from Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. That's what I want someone to admonish me with. You know, give me a special gift. You know, give me a special gift. And then put some whipped cream on and a couple cherries on top. If you're going to challenge me, admonish me, or say, hey, we're going to the nations. Who's with us? You know, and you go, well, I don't want to go past my front door. Only the mailman would hear my witness. Thank you, Jesus. No one hears like that. We do witness to the mailman. He came back and told us years later. But we went beyond, and you have gone beyond that. You've gone beyond the edge or your own preferences. Also in Colossians, you're going to put on something, you're going to put off something. First, probably put off and then put on. What are you going to put off? The old man. Ooh, but he's so familiar. He's so familiar. He kind of fits. The old man. I'm supposed to put off the old man? And what are we supposed to put on? The new man. Now, women, you know what that means. The old woman, the new woman. Okay, there's no getting off the hook just because it says men. Put off the old person and put on the new person. And the new person is a lot more glorious, a lot more powerful. It's Christ crucified and rose from the dead, living inside of us. Far more powerful than the old man. We can't let the old man take over and stay alive. He must die. He must be buried. He must stay in the grave. And we stomp on top of it. Then we can do the one another's. If we let the old man run the show, the one another's don't work, do they? Are you with me here? The one another's don't work with the old man. The old man is selfish, number one. Self-seeking, only for, number one, me. Read some of the Facebook posts. See if it's the new man or the old man. Instagram included. Twitter also. Whatever your favorite platform. See how many are speaking out of the old man and how many are speaking out of the new man. It's quite the study. Don't spend too long on it, though. Ephesians 4, the entire chapter. Here's some phrases from it. Bearing with one another in love. Speaking the truth in love. Lots of love. Are we loving? Are we really loving the way Christ would have us love? We cannot love without the power of the Holy Spirit. It will be so wimpy weak, it will not be able to activate the one another's. Now, this is good news because we know the kingdom of God is within, so we go in and get close to Holy Spirit, and suddenly we're empowered to do these things. We're serving people, loving people, like was happening this weekend. You were serving that community, that campus. You were serving the Lord's heart even more than the community and the campus. He loves it when we worship like that. We were worshiping in unity. We were worshiping in truth. Everyone was welcome to come in and do something in that tent, right? We preferred one another. Some of us could have taken over the entire worship time and done it as long as our breath would hold out. And yet that wouldn't have been a one another, would it? We traded off. People ended their sessions, sometimes early, sometimes late, but no one that I saw was going, "Hey, you went into my time, my set of worship." There should never be a set of worship. I said there should never be a set of worship. It's the Holy Spirit that decides. The Holy Spirit that decides. It's so much more fun. So Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love. Again, the putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And sandwiched between it, verse 22 of Ephesians 4, put off the old man. Ephesians 4, 22, put off the old man. Verse 24 is put on the new man. Sandwiched between it, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What messes up the one another's? Our minds, our wills, our emotions just flying around doing its own thing rather than being under the control of the Holy Spirit. And this is a good control, isn't it? Our thoughts captured by Jesus. That's a good thing. Because our thoughts run wild. They run wild like stallions. And our thoughts need to be captured by the love of Christ. I said our thoughts need to be captured by the love of Christ. Oh, well, my mind just runs all the time and I can't keep up with those thoughts. He can capture them. He can capture them. And this is a good capture. And when he captures them, he renews them. He doesn't just capture them and hold them. You know, they're trying to get away. The thoughts are trying to get away and he's just hanging on to them. No, he renews them so they are tamed. And they're not a wild stallion anymore. They actually can do the one another's. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Another good idea with the old man. Put away lying. Quit lying to one another. Same for me. You should say it back to me. Quit lying. There we go. Feels good, doesn't it? Some of you have been wanting to say that a long time. No. We should be able to put away lying to one another. That lying can be as much as, "Oh man, yeah, give a hug at church." And then as soon as you go out the door, called a disease of the tongue. How can we hug someone and love on them when we're in their presence? And then is it the parking lot that does it? What is it outside? It seems like a nice environment out there. How does it end up destroying these one another so quickly? Is it the air out there? Let no corrupt word, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification. And it's not saying, oh, if you come across a word that's necessary for edification, go ahead. No, it's saying edification itself, building people up, is necessary. 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 The whole history of Frontline has been to build you up. Did you know that? Not to tear you down and hang you on a pole somewhere so everyone can see you, what you're like torn down. To reveal things about you so that you're torn to shreds. That's what we're about here. No, it's to build you up, to edify you, to have you be closer to Jesus, to provide times where we get together that happens, but also that we do it individually with you. Those that are willing to take it into discipleship. Those that are willing to take it into relationship deep with Jesus and deep with leaders. Some of you have cooperated with that to the max. And you're able to stand. And you will be able to stand in the days that are coming. There are others that have resisted. And you think you're close to Jesus. It's his process. Excuse me. It's his process. It's part of the love one another's. And you haven't entered into that, some of you, in ages. You forgot that it's necessary edification. But you've decided, I'm going to have just this much. It's a preference of yours, not a preference of Jesus. I'm saying this with a smile because I expect you're going to move if you're stuck. And if you're not stuck, you're going to be some of the ones ministering to some of the ones that now are unstuck. Because you've been in the process long enough to share your own life with someone in here. Do you want to hear these things? I can hold back. It's not best for us. I love you. I want the best for you. Some are hiding. Some are hiding right here in this small group. Let Jesus show you whether that's the case or not. Speaking the truth in. Do I love you? Yes. Do I love you? Yes. Do I love you? Yes. Am I giving my life for you? Yes. Am I giving my life for Jesus? Yes. Am I doing it imperfectly? Yes. Well, I'm glad you didn't say that. I'm glad you didn't say that one really loud. I am doing that imperfectly. You like talking turkey or not? Okay, I am doing that imperfectly. But I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to go farther than me. I want you to go farther than Mary Pat. I know that's a little higher, a little harder. I want you to go farther. And I want to do the one another's. I want to be the chief one another guy. I want to be the first one to do these. Not the last one and receive all the, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. Bring it on, bring it on. I see the signs all over town. Very encouraging. No, I want to be the one to give parishioner. Appreciation Month. I can't even say parishioner. I want to have children receive the one another's. Your children and the smaller guys too. I hang out with the children. It's not my job. I love them. I love them. I love them. With the courage that Jesus would give me, I'd give my life for any one of them. I always say, with the courage that Jesus would give me, because I don't know if I have that kind of courage. But I know he does, and I know if I'm in tune with him, he can give it to me. To give up my life for one of these little ones. That's my heart. So, again, put off the old man. Put on the new man. Put away lying. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. How in the world can we do that? We've got to be close to Holy Spirit like we were in the worship time and the aftermath today. And then it's possible. But that should be something we carry with us. Not have to have re-energized, although those times are beautiful. But we have to carry it more, don't we? We have to carry that. Carry the one another's. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds is a key. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit in this chapter. 4 of Ephesians is a key. And we're not to have corrupt speech, edifying speech, not corrupt speech. Anything that's against what Jesus would say is corrupt speech. It's corruption. It's not just our government that can be involved in corruption. We can be involved in corruption. There's much corruption in the church. We can be the ones to show the example like Jesus showed us. We'll get into that in 1 minute. He showed us the way. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Am I grieving the Holy Spirit? Then how can we say that we're hearing from him if he's grieved? Very hard for him to speak to us if he's grieved and lead us any further if he's grieved. And the one another's in Ephesians 4, forbearing one another in love, be kind to one another. Kind. Sometimes kind is telling you the truth in love. And we don't think of that as kindness. That's one of the sweetest kindnesses there is. You'll find all kinds of people that will fake you out and tell you the wrong thing. How many people will tell you something straight, but they love you so much you know it? Those are the people I like hearing from and want to hear more from. That's why, you know, we don't just listen to our own messages. We listen to other people's messages and let them hit us hard. Killing kryptonite. It's a lot about that, isn't it? Letting someone from outside this body speak into us a message that will change all of us. Why do we go to that class? Because we need changed. We need kryptonite out, not just to be a speaker at the class. Yes, we have something to say. Yes, we've dealt with kryptonite in our lives. But does it mean we don't need to change? Of course we do. That's why we're there. I write down notes. I underline things. I say, man, Lord, that's socking me right where it hurts. That's a good thing. That process should continue until I run through this finish line, through and break the tape, like we did for the weekend. It's a beautiful picture of that. I don't know. I'm on a roll today. I was going to be really sweet and nice and kind and let you really have it easy to bear with me. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I don't know about you, but when someone fails in the body of Christ, when they go off the edge, when they head into the wilderness and they could be around the fire of the Holy Spirit close in, but they run away into the darkness or out into the wilderness. I think of myself. I could be doing that. I could have made that decision. I could have forgotten about the one another's and just taken off on my own, selfishly saying, these people don't line up, or those leaders don't line up, or that leader doesn't line up. And I could just be off in the wild blue yonder somewhere. Could have happened many times in my past. What kept me from that? I keep thinking, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit reminding me of a lot of these things. And he would remind me and remind me, and I wouldn't step into these things. And where I did make mistakes, try to reconcile those mistakes with people. And it brought me to a day where I'm going to the nations and I'm thinking, wow, God, this is so awesome. Going to the streets, meeting with pastors that are saying, I can't get my people to even go outside the church walls. And here we are on Mount Union's campus in a tent for 50 hours. They couldn't imagine trying to get their people to do something like that. And you guys are doing that. So this isn't a message about, again, tearing you down. This is a message about saying, you are amazingly following the Holy Spirit. Let's see if there's some areas where you can follow him even more. Let's see if there's some areas where I can follow him even more. I want to lead the way. I don't expect you to lead the way. I'm going to lead the way. I want to change more. I want to be more of a one another guy than ever and love you more, sacrifice for you more, care about you more, be more sensitive to you, approach you the way you would like to be approached, not the way I would want to approach you. As time goes on, I want to change to be more like Jesus. How about you? How about you? That was the time you go, yeah! That's when you jump in like Cynthia would. Yeah! Love it. Love it. Bear one another's burdens. I want to bear your burdens. Pastor Mary Pat wants to bear your burdens. Our leaders want to bear your burdens. They pray for you. When you have a situation come up, it's like 911 around here. You call one of us and we all know about it. And we want to help. We want to see what's our part. What's our part? How can we help that person? How can we jump in? How can we encourage? How can we challenge? How can we help? How can we pray? How can we give advice that's godly, not just off the top of our heads? How can we tailor that advice as Holy Spirit would tailor it to a person, not just give them a list of scriptures and say, read these, they'll help you. No, but see what Holy Spirit is saying to them, so that saying to the person, so that they have His fresh word for them to encourage them, lift them up, bearing one another's burdens. People have bared, is that how you say it? Bore our burdens. When we had malaria, all of you jumped in to fight for our lives. Those that were here, and I know some of you that weren't here, you were doing it in the spirit, and Jesus knew, and you didn't know. That's okay. Because He knew you'd be here eventually. But in 2009, when we both had malaria, and I walked in here on a Sunday morning, everyone was standing when I walked in after 5 weeks away from the church, and Pastor Mary Pat's in the hospital, and you were warring for her life. And we were looking for the word of the Lord, and it came. I came in and did The Enemy Is Done. I had about enough gas to do that. And people were like warring. The roof almost blew off. And we didn't even have it fixed yet, so it could have happened. Would have been all right. Wasn't until 2012 we got it fixed. So it could have just blown off the roof. We would have fixed it 3 years earlier. Warring for our lives. You bore our burden. I remember leaning on people in the hospital. I had so little strength. I couldn't even sit there while I was waiting to get a room, leaning on someone. And they didn't care. They wanted to do that. They wanted to minister to me that way. When I was talking delusionally, people bore with me in the hospital. Apparently, I talked out of my head. Who knew when you're on malaria and it takes over your brain? And they were patient and loving and caring and brought me bananas, because this crazy hospital, you couldn't get a banana. And I needed a banana. That's what settled my stomach. You bore with us. You supported us. When Pastor Mary Pat took a crash in Africa, people carried her. They bore that burden. They prayed, they cried. They were in the emergency room. From two or three different nations, that burden was borne. We're not the only ones bearing burdens. You're bearing our burdens. And that's important. That's the one another's. So this isn't a message just to say, hey, get on the train here. No, it's let's keep on this train and go higher, farther, whatever that train's doing. I don't know that I want a train to go higher. Maybe an airplane. I'm starting to preach like Pastor Mary Pat. Get on a train and let it fly higher. No, we don't want that, honey. Airplanes we want to fly higher. And then people look at me. If I'm back by the sound booth, they look at me. What? Can't change her her pictures or metaphors? We're going to kick a field goal out of the diamond. You know. Anyway, I said this would be short. I lied. I'm so sorry. Bearing one another's burdens. Best line of the morning. Galatians 6, 1 through 10, bear one another's burdens. And then Philippians 2. Read it for yourself. Philippians 2 needs a refresher, doesn't it? So much in here about Jesus giving himself up for us, bearing all of our burdens. We can bear each other's burdens, but isn't it something that we have Jesus that can bear them all? He can bear them all. But the chapter starts with us. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for your own interests, but also the interests of others. That morning in ...2009, where people were warring for our life, they put their interests to the side. They asked the Lord, what do you have to say? And two words came out from that service as they were warring. Open up the windows of heaven, and there will be a suddenly. Her lungs were filled with fluid, Mary Pat, in the hospital, University Hospital in Cleveland. Lungs filled with fluid. Open up the windows of heaven. We knew immediately what that meant. Her lungs needed to be cleared up of the fluid. And it would be a suddenly. So it wasn't going to take all the months of therapy, if not years, if not permanent damage to her lungs that would have to be taken care of through medication and other things for years. It would happen suddenly. Within 2 days, it happened. Her lungs were cleared out. The fluid was not in her lungs any longer. Cleared out. That they looked at the monitors and said, you can breathe. Do you remember? Or remember hearing the story? The account. It's not a story. You bore the burden of your pastors. And God recognized that to the point that he brought an amazing healing in 2 days of something they said was impossible to turn around in that period of time for sure. She was in intensive care with so many tubes you couldn't count them. Bruised up in her body from them trying to save her life. And, you know, put in all the different lines that they had to put in and missing sometimes. And she hears the question, do you scuba dive? How ridiculous for a person laying in a bed. Are you a scuba diver? When she first wakes up, feels no different, but a miracle has happened. Why a scuba diver? They have extra capacity in their lungs. And this lady was reading the monitor that completely her lungs not only were healed, they were bigger and better. Guess who provided those kinds of lungs? We cannot forget how you bore that burden for us because she has had no effects from that time forward. She came out of the hospital walking faster than me. I was still recovering from having malaria, and I didn't have any of the some of the lung effects and so on that she had. But I was walking like a little old man, and I'm not a little old man. I'm a bald man. But not a little old man. Anyway, so she was walking faster than me with bruises. Now think of that, because you bore burdens, because you bore burdens, because you saw the one another's and live them out for us. So it's not a one-way street. It's both. We want to bear your burdens when you have a serious thing in your life, when you have a non-serious thing in your life, and you just think it's bugging you. We want to know. We want to be part of bearing that burden. Our leaders do that. They have lost many, many nights of sleep over you. Why? They want to. They want to. Like crazy woman up here, losing sleep. They want to do that. Crazy. You understand. It's with love I say that. Okay. And admiration. Because that would be a bigger challenge for me. Just so you know. Thanks for bearing that burden. Do all things without complaining and disputing. If we're not going to enjoy the one another's if we complain and if we dispute with one another. We'll never get to the one another's to enjoy them. They're supposed to be enjoyed. This is supposed to be family life. How many have a screwed up family? Don't raise your hands. Screwed up natural family? Don't raise your hands. Okay, but this is supposed to be a family that's so close, it just squeezes good out of us towards all those family members that we have trouble with at Thanksgiving. It's just, that's how it's supposed to work. We're not supposed to have more problems here, not doing the one another's, because we'll never affect our families. Wait till I get to the last verse. Proves it from the Bible. Paul said, I am being poured out as a drink offering. I'm not there yet, but I want to be poured out as a drink offering for you. Pastor Mary Pat is there. I think she's there. She pours herself out as a drink offering for you. I testify. She loves every one of you so supremely. She wants every marriage here to work. She wants every child to tear it up in the nations or on the streets. Okay. She wants every family together and functioning kingdom-wise. And pours herself out for you for that to happen. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel it. Then hear the truth. It's not about feelings. It's about truth. And maybe just take advantage of it more if you're not feeling like it's happening to you. The care isn't there for you or whatever. Reach out. You'll find it works for you too. From our leaders, we love you. We want to serve you. We're not just here to be leaders and take goody gifts and all that. We're here to serve you, love you, into your most mature place. Your greatest destiny, that's our heart. Some of you know it without hearing it. And you have said something to encourage us in that process. But whether you have or you haven't, know it's true. We don't need to hear from you that you appreciate it in order to do it. That's not why we do it. It's the love of our life, Jesus, that compels us to do it, but we do it with joy. By the way, our leaders like one another, love one another, bear each other's burdens for one another, stand for one another, even in the tightest of situations. You need to know that. There isn't some coup in our leadership. They love each other. I am being poured, and if they don't, I'll make them. Okay. I am being poured out as a drink offering. Paul said that. He also had disciples that showed that. How do you know Paul was real? His disciples poured their lives out as drink offerings. In Philippians 2, he mentions Timothy and Epaphroditus, two guys that he goes into it that poured out their lives for others. So it talks about esteeming others better than self. You know, are your problems the only problems of the world? You're probably not esteeming someone else. Because you want to ask them, how are they doing? How are you doing? I've got problems, but how are you doing? Do you know pastors and leaders, they want to do that all the time. Not talk about their own problems. They can talk about that with other leaders. They want to ask how you're doing. Check it out. See if that's not what's happening. How are you doing? It's not just a phrase. They really do care how you are doing. I love this silence. I must be getting through to somebody, and myself included. Look out for the interests of others above our own interests. Simple, isn't it? Do I talk about me, or do I talk about, hey, what's going on in your life? How can I bear your burdens? We're much happier when we bear someone else's burdens, and our burdens seem lighter, and we can share those burdens. We certainly can, but do we care first about someone else's? Last passage, John 13, 34, and 35. How many have kept up so far? If not, you'll run into these passages as you read the New Testament. John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How many times does he say love one another or love for one another? Three times in two verses. What's he trying to say? Jesus. This is Jesus. Love one another. I mean it. It's the only thing that lets the world see you're my disciples. It's the only witness that stands for time. You can witness the gospel quickly and they'll say, okay, they probably know something about Jesus. But what will win the day is loving one another. That will be the ongoing witness of the body of Christ. The ongoing witness between you and me to somebody else that's watching will be whether we love one another, whether we bear with one another. I used to go to a church when I first became a believer that was in the town that I went back to college after receiving Jesus in my hometown. During the summer, I went back to college and I started attending a church. And this pastor just kept giving a message on love. And at that time, in my young days of being a Christian, I thought, okay, we got that, all right? Tell us what to do with that. But we got it, okay? Love one, okay. Love from Jesus, okay. Every Sunday, it seemed to be love, love, and oh, here's another angle of love, and another one of love, and okay, come on, let's teach the book of James or something here. Let's change the, you know, there's other things to talk about. And now, at this age, when I hear a message on love, it's like so fresh. It's like something, another added element to love that I need, that I want to learn about, that I want to grow in, that I know that I, over these decades of being a Christian, could have done better in that whole area of love, that this guy back then was trying to teach to his people that they really got it. Because if they did love, they could do anything. If they loved the one another's, they could have a church that functions, that goes to the nations. So we are loving one another. We'd never make it to these places or to the streets or to the campuses. We'd never make it. The challenge would be too much. The mountain would be too high. So we are loving one another. Let's just take it to another level. Father, we thank you, Jesus. It was quite the morning and afternoon, and are we at evening yet, Lord? We could be. But God, we're receiving from your heart. We loved how we just entered in today. After 50 hours, we almost had 50 hours of church. Father, we thank you, God. You're at work in us. How are we doing that? How are we open to that? But God, we want you. We want you, Jesus. We want you, Holy Spirit. Father, we're crying out to you from the tent to the tabernacle. Father, we want everything from your presence that you're offering. No holdbacks, no ceilings, no limits. We're here for you. Here is my life, Lord. Here's my life for you. Here is my life, God. I'm saying it publicly. Here is my life. Use me as a drink offering. Use me for your kingdom. Use me in your body. Use me in people's lives. Use me, God. Use me, Father. Work through me, God. For each of us, God, may that be our heart cry. And if it is, we will carry out the one another's at even a different level in these days of trial, in these days of tribulation, in these days of the church being persecuted, and they will be persecuted more. Are we ready? The one another's will help us be ready, God. And you can do it in us, Holy Spirit. You're free to do that in Jesus' name. Bless each person here. May they know they're loved by you and loved by us. And we want them to have the best destiny they possibly can have, and their children and grandchildren, their whole family line, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the extra time.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.